Welcome back in on the Views Pod. We had some technical difficulties last week, but I guess it turned out all right. I mean, everything that we could have said about that game ended up not mattering. Low scoring, no. Tight, no. Big Ten battle, no.
Battle? No.
No. Maybe we... Maybe we should just move on, and that'll be a game that we don't talk about anymore. We've had a couple of those this season, haven't we?
That's fine. We can throw that one away and kind of move on from here.
This is Derek here with you guys again. I've got Greg Smith back with me. We just love Greg here, so we want to get him on this podcast as much as possible. This week we're talking about Heisman trophies, top 10 upsets, and FlightAware season. Nebraska plays 10th-ranked Penn State on the road on Saturday. So here in a little bit, we're going to get Jill Beckman from the Philly Inquirer on here to talk about the Nittany Lions. As usual, you're going to hear from head coach Mike Riley a little later on the Huskers injury situation. Hopefully, we'll get an update on Tanner Lee's status heading into the weekend. But first, Greg, we got two games left this season, man. How you holding up?
I'm almost ready for the end. We're almost barreling. But I say that, and I'm going to regret that, like, honestly, because we'll get to the end of the season, and there'll be no more football. So that will stink. But there is, I feel like we're starting to turn a little bit of a corner where people are almost getting excited about next year, weirdly, while we're still in the middle, or not in the middle, but at the end of this current season. We're in a weird spot right now.
People have been getting excited about next season since, like, 2 weeks ago, though.
Yeah.
So it's more towards the middle of the season.
Yeah, so it started around then. Yeah, that's true.
But hey, when Nebraska's season ends, we'll still have a month of football left.
Oh, come on, man. That's technically true too soon.
We got an interesting situation on our hands with Tanner and the concussion protocol this week because, you know, Riley said that he's got enough game reps to make it so that, you know, he would play even if he doesn't get to practice this week. But then you've got Patrick O'Brien and kind of taking this thing down to the wire, and POB is preparing like he's going to start this week. If Patrick is the guy, you feel the same about Nebraska's chances? You feel worse? You feel better?
About the same. Like, I'd be a lot more curious and interested in the game, just frankly, if Patrick O'Brien is starting, because I'd be really curious to see his mindset, right? He seems like a confident kid, and he really, at this point, doesn't have any real reason not to be. He's always been kind of a star quarterback in his life, right? So those guys tend to be a little bit confident, borderline cocky, but I'm curious to see if he goes out there and is really slinging the ball around, or if he wants to kind of play it safe and he's checking it down a lot. I have a feeling that it'd be more towards the former, where he's trying to sling it around a little bit.
Because he's got family members there, too.
Yeah, he's going to have a big family contingent coming out to see the game, which is always fun, too.
Yeah, and they didn't offer him out of high school, so maybe there's a little bit of chip on the shoulder there. I mean, I don't think they have a chance, but for the sake of the show, who knows, maybe we get a Deshaun Watson-like performance.
Maybe.
Did you hear him?
I did get that quote. Yeah, that is something. But Danny is correct, I guess, if you want to be, you know, technical. It's true. He is not. Deshaun Watson, he is not.
No, but he is a slow Carson Wentz, and he scrambles like Michael Vick. That is what he said on Tuesday. God, I love freshmen so much.
Yes.
Do you remember last year before the Ohio State Oklahoma game when Oklahoma's freshman quarterback called Ohio State's defense basic?
Yes, but he didn't play, right? Like,
no,
he wasn't playing.
No, he didn't.
That's
play.
What was curious about that. I do remember that. Yeah.
But like OSU or Ohio State just ripped Oklahoma, and then they had like a basic sign on the sideline after the game, and like, before the game started this year, they had like basics spelled out in one of the sections of their stadium. Freshmen say dumb stuff sometimes because they have a lot of confidence, and I just absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
I feel the same way. I love that.
So I've seen people ask this, and I think we should talk about it. What's the likelihood Nebraska pulls off an upset? Stranger things have happened, and they had Sparty in 2015.
They did have Sparty in 2015. Sparty was... No. The chances are low. I tried to go there for a quick second. This one, to me, it doesn't feel quite the same as that. A, you're on the road. B, you're having a quarterback make his first start ever. And C, the recipe on offense, the ingredients on offense that Penn State has is just tailor-made to give Nebraska nightmares. I mean, to be honest, they give really good defenses nightmares on a weekly basis, right? But when you have Saquon Barkley, you have Trace McSorley, no one ever really nobody talks enough about Mike Gesicki, who may be the best tight end in all of college football. They have a lot of weapons that can really hurt you, and they have very capable wide receivers. Like, it's just not a good matchup for Nebraska.
I want to point out here for a second, I just realized this. I spelled Stranger Things like strain, like how Bob Diaco has been saying strain, and it was completely unintentional.
I thought that was not on purpose.
No, man. No, that was completely unintentional. That's it's the season
that
we're having.
Your phone and computer already auto-correcting that because you said it so much in jokes.
Hey, but Nebraska could pull the upset. I mean, Penn State realizes that their postseason hopes are not really a thing anymore, and they don't care.
No, maybe that could happen. It's also another one of those situations, though. Remember when we talked about the upset against Ohio State and how we talked about Urban Meyer is the wrong guy to try to catch napping, because if he gets up on you, he's then going to really try to put it on you. James Franklin has a lot of that in him as well. So even if the thing starts to turn ugly in Penn State's favor, I don't see James Franklin calling off the dogs and allowing Nebraska back in either.
What? No, but I mean, like, they don't control their destiny at this point. I mean, you've got Nebraska, you've got Maryland left. Both should be wins. If they need Ohio State really to lose out. I don't know that a two-loss Penn State with no champ game appearance makes the college football playoff. So it needs Ohio State to lose. It needs to then win the Big Ten championship game. And then you need, like, an Oklahoma and a Clemson to lose ahead of you.
Yeah.
And Georgia, don't want to leave Georgia out. Even then, do you take a one-loss Wisconsin over a two-loss Penn State?
Me personally, I would.
Really?
But the problem, but see, I'm probably in the minority of that because I'm extremely down on Wisconsin, and that I don't think that they're a better football team than Penn State or Ohio State. Like, I think that there's teams in the conference before you get to teams outside of the conference that Wisconsin just isn't better than. They'll have their opportunity to prove me wrong. They won't, but we'll go ahead and see how that goes. But Penn State, could they be playing for continuing the momentum in the program? Is that too pie in the sky?
No.
Because I also, that, but maybe not, but I think that there's a flip side of this, is where are we going to look back on this Trace McSorley, Saquon Barkley time and think that they missed an opportunity to make deeper runs while having both of those guys on the roster?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That'll be a major storyline when you get later. But the thing that I see them playing for right now is just padding Saquon Barkley's stats. Get him the Heisman Trophy.
Which is a big motivator, right? But, you know, on the flip side, like, is that... Man, this is so bad to say out loud, but it might be the truth. Is Saquon Barkley having a monster game against Nebraska enough to get him back into the Heisman discussion?
No, it's Baker's already.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and man, that sounds harsh towards Nebraska, because it used to be a time where putting up, say, 250 rushing yards against Nebraska would vault you back into the discussion. That's just simply not the case this season.
No, Wisconsin put up 400 last week.
Minnesota.
If it had been
Wisconsin, it would have, well, it still would have been acceptable, but at least you would have somewhat understood.
Well, that would have been more understandable if it was Wisconsin.
Yeah, it would have been more understandable. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't think that Saquon's getting back in. And plus, I think Saquon's issue is people are now starting to dig into his actual rushing numbers. Like, when you put up his total yardage numbers, like, it's a big number, right? But when you look at the rushing totals, and it happened again last week, he was held under 100 yards. Like, it's just strange how
he was held under 40 yards
last
week.
Yeah, it's just strange how they utilize him.
Yeah. I've got numbers for Baker here, so I will list those because
okay,
I think
go for it.
It's his trophy right now. He's second in QBR. He's only behind Khalil Tate. He's first in estimated points added. He's got the best quarterback rating, and it's not even close. He's at 202. Second place is 184, and third place is at 174. He has the most efficient offense. He's got 31 touchdowns against 5 picks. He's got 3 top 10 wins, 2 of them on the road. I don't know why this is still a debate.
Yeah, that last one is the one that kind of jumps out to me, because that is always a great, great mark of a tremendous college quarterback to me. When you go on the road, and especially not just you win those games, like, he's really, really put together some great performances in those games as well, some of his best performances. So, yeah, reluctantly, I guess, it might be Baker's to lose.
Yeah, I mean, they stomped Ohio State on the road. The score makes it look closer than it was, and then they put up 62 against Oklahoma State in Bedlam. Who's your top four right now if things stay the same? No upsets happen the rest of the way. Who's your top four in the playoff?
No upsets happen. I would still... I was going to say the group that we have now. So it would be Alabama, Clemson, Miami...
And Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma. But you can't, but you kind of can't have, no, actually I do like that group, because I'm going to say, let's say, because it technically wouldn't be an upset, that Clemson beats Miami. I think that that should still be your Final Four, because that would be Miami's first loss, and it would be to the number two team in the championship game, especially if it's close. It essentially becomes the argument that people were making a couple of weeks ago for why Georgia and Alabama should still be in. So I say no upsets, you get the same top four.
I don't know. I don't like two ACC teams being in the playoff.
I don't love it either, but I think in this that's their best shot. And I think right now that might be the best shot for two teams from the same conference.
If Miami wins out, I think they're in.
Mm-hmm.
If Alabama wins out, they're in. Even if they lost to Auburn and then Auburn lost to Georgia in the SEC title game, I think both Bama and Georgia would get in at that point. I'm much more comfortable with two SEC teams than I am with two ACC teams. Only way I see Wisconsin getting in is if they're undefeated, which I, like you, I don't think that that's going to happen. And even then, like, your best win is against who? Ohio State? And they've got
three losses at that point.
And then you've got Oklahoma, and they should be in. Any?
This Oklahoma thing is bugging me all season long. I feel like I bring this up every podcast, but they're bugging me. And it doesn't feel like it's going away anytime soon.
We are so off topic right now. I don't, that's fine though. I don't know how we would fill this time talking about Penn State, Nebraska, and how they match up together.
No, they don't.
Like nowhere.
I don't. Kicker?
Special teams, maybe, but Saquon Barkley is really, really good at returning.
Yeah, that's going to be in. That's going to be, well, coming off of a game in which Nebraska gave up an opening kickoff return against Minnesota, hopefully they've learned that lesson and they won't kick to Saquon Barkley.
I wonder if there's ever been two consecutive games where, like, the opposing team has returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. I wonder if that's happened.
I don't know. I wonder. We'll have to get the crack research staff on that.
Yeah, we need. If you're listening, we need you to look that up. We're going to go to Riley for that injury update, I promise you guys. And when we get back, we'll get right into my talk with Joe.
Okay, we'll start with the injuries. Is that good? We'll start with the quarterback. Is that good? He's, you know, actually going through the protocol. And if he does not have a setback as of today, you know, if everything checks out okay after this practice, heading into tomorrow's walkthrough, he will be cleared to play. And then how we do that, we have not yet decided, you know, what that means about playing time. Okay? I think I told you guys, Connor Ketter is probably not going to play again. Back. Connor Young will probably not play in the regular season. Ankle, high ankle sprain. Eric Lee has been cleared and should be able to play as long as he does the same thing Tanner does for tomorrow. Lou Gifford had surgery today. Will not play again this year. And Zach Darlington is back. Has been practicing with the team.
So we're back, and without any further ado, I'd like to welcome in my guest this week, Jill Beckman from the Philly Inquirer. Jill, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, thanks for having me, Derek. How are you?
I'm good. So this is something that we've been talking about a little already, here in Lincoln at least. But Penn State, not worried about Nebraska, I wouldn't think. They've got a 4-6 Huskers team and then a 4-6 Maryland team left, but they've got bigger aspirations, I would say, and given that their destiny is really not in their control at this point, they need chaos above them to kind of get into that playoff field. I'm curious, what's the motivation with this team right now for finishing out the season?
Well, the motivation is always going to be to win out and go 10-2. And like you said, you know, you need some things to happen. In front of Penn State right now, they're the 10th seed, so you need some teams to lose a game and to get everything to fall into place. But right now, it isn't very likely Penn State will make the playoffs or even the Big Ten championship. So the motivation to just come out with that 10-2 record. And don't forget, those two losses were for a combined 4 points, so that helps their resume out as well if there's some consideration that happened at the
Right. Is it now maybe a little bit more about getting Saquon Barkley that Heisman Trophy?
Without a huge hope for a playoff run, I think that's, you know, the biggest hope right now. But, I mean, the chances of that aren't looking great as well right now unless he comes down and has a really big next two games. You know, it's hard because the defenses are really keying in on him, and he's struggling. So is Penn State's offensive line, which doesn't help. So he really needs those next two huge games to be a finalist. But, I mean, we know he has the skill and the talent, and he deserves it 100%, but he'll need his stats to show over the next 2 weeks.
Right, okay, that was going to be my next question, because I'm looking at his numbers right now, and it's weird, because after that Iowa game, and really during it, it was just like, oh my God, let's just give him the trophy now. But he hasn't topped 100 yards since October 21st, and he's only gone over 103 times this season. He had 35 last week against Rutgers. I get that he's getting used in a ton of different ways, and it's not all about the rushing stats, but what exactly is going on? Are they just using him as a decoy, or is it struggles?
I think the struggles aren't necessarily all on him, but yeah, they are using him as a decoy in situations, because it's just, if you watch highlights, you'll see it's gotten to the point where the entire defense is keying in on Saquon, and then Trace will have room, and he'll be able to run the ball, and he scored a few times from that. So, I mean, these defenses are just out, you know, because he's one of the best players in the country, and that's going to happen. But I think it's also Penn State's O-line has been a huge weakness, and it's not allowing Trace McSorley much time to make decisions. And, you know, last week against Rutgers, Saquon had negative rushing yards after the first half. And, you know, and that's Rutgers. And right. So, you know, they're using Trace as a big part of the running game. And you know, Saquon will still come up with those big plays because he is Saquon and he can do that, but he has to show more consistency.
Right. Okay. Let's say he has a monster week this week. I think that given Nebraska gave up 400 rushing yards to Minnesota last week, Barkley's probably going to have some room to run on Saturday. If he goes off, do you think he kind of shoots back up that Heisman leaderboard?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, he needs to, you know, he has to hit that 100-yard mark for sure, because, like you said, he hasn't gained that kind of yardage in a while. But, I mean, he's never been completely out of the conversation because we know he has the talent, but he does need a huge week, and he can't keep those Heisman hopes alive with just one or two big plays a game. And I think this week will allow him and kind of give him the motivation to come out and be consistent for as long as they keep him in the game.
Okay. Talking specifically about X and O's right now, is there anywhere on the field, any aspect of this game where you see Nebraska matching up well with Penn State, whether that be on special teams or Nebraska throwing it against Penn State's secondary or Nebraska's corners against Penn State's receivers? Are there any particular matchups that you're interested in with this game?
The thing I was actually thinking about is a matchup that's kind of on the weaker side in Nebraska's rush defense against Penn State's O-line, because those are both big weaknesses, and I was just curious to see how that pans out.
Okay. It's crazy to be sitting here talking about a Penn State-Nebraska game, and we're talking about offensive lines and run games being weaknesses. So we've got two historically dominant football teams. Does it feel weird just in general to be talking about Nebraska, Penn State, yet we almost know unequivocally that this will not be a good game, and we know that one team will win?
Yeah, I mean, it's a 26-point favorite right now for Penn State?
Something like that, yeah. It'll probably go up, too.
Definitely. So, I mean, I don't think we'll see too much drama, but, I mean, any Big Ten matchup is going to be at least somewhat competitive. But, yeah, this Penn State group of players hasn't played Nebraska yet, and So I think yeah, it is probably, it's kind of weird that, yeah, like, you pretty much know the outcome.
Right.
And, yeah, so it's not going to be very interesting, you're right.
Okay. Yeah, we're kind of trying to pretty up something that's not going to be too pretty. We're gonna start a new segment this week, and it's not a new concept by any means, but it's new to this podcast. Just a simple game of buy or sell. I'm gonna give you a take. Tell me whether you'd buy it as a thing or not. You ready to go?
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
So first up, Trace McSorley has a bigger game than Saquon. Buying or selling?
Selling.
Okay. So Saquon has a breakout game, you think?
I do. I think he desperately needs it at this point, and I think we'll see it this week, yes.
Okay. Interesting. Next up, Penn State defense pitches a shutout against the Huskers.
I would say selling also, because I don't see them getting a shutout, but I can see them limiting Nebraska to like one touchdown.
Okay. Gosh, I hope it's not a shutout. I don't even know when the last time Nebraska was shut out in a football game was. That would make...
It could happen, though. You never know.
What does that Penn State defense look like this year, in your eyes? Have they lived up to the billing?
Yeah, I think they've been looking really good. For most of the season, they didn't allow... an opponent to score in the first quarter, I know, until I think they have allowed it now once or twice, but one coming against Rutgers. And, it's been, the defense has been looking really good. It has a lot of depth.
Okay. Next up, Saquon Barkley and the Nittany Lions are more popular in the state of Pennsylvania right now than Joel Embiid.
Selling. That's a great question. He had a huge game last night. He's really fun to watch. And you know who else might be able to be in that conversation? Carson Wentz.
Oh, that's true. They're 8-1 right now, aren't they?
Yes. And so yeah, we have a few good players right now in Philly, but. So yeah, they're definitely more popular than Penn State right now.
Okay. Man, good year for Pennsylvania sports.
Yeah.
You got Penn State, you got Philly finally looking good on the hardwood. Okay.
Right now.
All right.
It's been long enough.
Yeah, trust the process, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so finally, Penn State makes the playoff, buying or selling?
I'm going to say selling because it's unlikely unless there's a number of upsets in those top teams in the next few weeks. But Penn State should win these next two games and climb the rankings a few spots. So, would they be competitive in the playoffs? Yes, but will a two-loss Big Ten team make it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if a two-loss, especially with ACC having two teams in the top four right now, I feel like the ACC is right. So overvalued right now. Even if, let's say like, Clemson beats Miami in the ACC champ game, I could totally see both of those teams getting in despite the fact that Miami just lost, just because it seems like they like the ACC and those top teams so much, which is weird.
It is, and I don't see Miami being a very competitive team in the playoffs. Like, I feel like they would get blown out by Alabama.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Just because their schedule hasn't been as competitive. I mean, the game against Notre Dame, that was a big one.
Right.
But aside from that, their schedule, I don't, like how do you think they would do against, teams in the Big Ten, like Big Ten East teams? I don't think.
Right, yeah. That's a good point. I mean, they're like Wisconsin almost. Because I don't see the ACC as being competitive top to bottom. It's so top heavy right now. And like a team like Wisconsin, like I think the only shot that they have of getting into the postseason is going undefeated. I don't think a one-loss Wisconsin team has any chance because of their schedule.
Right.
I wouldn't think Miami would beat Alabama.
Right. Yeah, same thing. Same thing with Wisconsin. You know, like I think they'll lose in the Big Ten championship either way, just because, you know, they, like you said, the schedule is just not as competitive in the West.
Right. You don't want your toughest game of the season to be the Big Ten championship when you
right.
haven't been tested.
And it will be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get a score prediction from you, and we'll wrap this thing up. How do you see this game playing out Saturday?
My prediction is Penn State wins 35-7. I think Nebraska will score once, but Penn State's defense will really be solid and contain Nebraska's offense. And I think Saquon will come out and we'll see him have a big game because he needs it. He knows if he doesn't have this big game, then that's it for his Heisman hopes.
Okay. Quick day for all of us. I like it. I like it. I think I put it at 42-13. Penn State is what I've got.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah, that's realistic.
Yeah. It's a sad day. This is the state of Nebraska football that we have come to. 7 points and 13 points predicted against a defense.
Awful.
Yeah. It's been a fun year in Lincoln. So.
I bet.
All right, Jill. Thanks for joining me this week. I will I'll be in State College on Friday, so I'll try and stop by the press box before the game and say hi. Not supposed to be too cold up there, is it?
I'm hearing bad weather this weekend. I think rain Saturday, snow Sunday. So,
man, I'm gonna
bring warm clothes.
I'm gonna miss snow twice. Like it snowed Friday night in Minnesota, and it didn't snow on Saturday. I want to see a snow football game.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm like the only one here, so I bought gloves before the Minnesota game last week, and then left them in Minnesota, so they lasted like a week. So I'm hoping. I'm kind of hoping it's not going to get too cold. So
it hasn't been too bad. It's been in the 40s. You know, when the sun's out, it's fine.
All right, cool. All right, so everybody, go give Jill a follow on Twitter. It's @_JillBeckman, all lowercase, just like it sounds. Jill, thanks so much for coming on this week. Enjoyed it.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
Yep, no problem. Have a good one. Interesting stuff. I like that answer about Joel Embiid. And Greg, I hate to do this to you because, you know, of your Laker fandom, but you were watching that game, what was it, Thursday night?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of other people were as well. How good is Joel Embiid?
Why do you have to make me go there after watching him destroy my team? I feel like you're just taking a sick pleasure in this. But he's good, like, I guess. Like, he's pretty good. No, he is going to be a superstar in the league so long as he stays healthy. I don't think that there's any real discussion or debate about that because he can literally do everything you need to do on the basketball court. And he makes the right plays a lot of the time. He's a good passer as well to go along with his offense. The rest of his offensive game, he's a good defender as well and shot blocker. He altered a lot of shots in that game. He's the real deal. I can maybe relent a little bit on just calling him Twitter fingers. He might be a full-time basketball player.
He might be better at social media, though. Did you see his Instagram post after the game?
I did see it.
Knocking Lonzo out of the way and
I feel like the thing is he's got more. I think he had a quote on this, or I think it actually might have been a tweet, appropriately enough, him saying that he actually liked Lonzo's game and he's got no beef with Lonzo. It's all about LeVar. Because
yeah,
I think LeVar also, if you noticed, and I tried to stay away from it last night so I didn't get into a Twitter war, Ben Simmons' sister is like so anti-LeVar because LeVar said something about Ben Simmons trying to stay healthy, and it's just been this whole mess. So they are really, really anti-LeVar.
I thought Ben Simmons' sister used to be really anti-Ben Simmons too.
She did, so that's why I tried to stay away from that war because I would have gone there. So I just ignored her tweets.
Okay. I guess that's what happens when you... We're not going to go there.
Nope.
I mean, that Philly team, I mean, they're going to win a couple championships here in a couple years. Simmons and Embiid stay healthy. You had the right pieces around them. I tweeted this Thursday night. That dude could literally go down as the greatest center to ever play the game of basketball.
He's got a shot.
If he's
healthy. Which is weird. Like, it's weird to say that already, but he really does. Like, it had a feeling, especially with it being in Staples Center, it had a feeling of, like, vintage Shaq. In the 2000s. Like, that's what it felt like to me. Like, you knew the ball was going to him. You could not stop him, and he was doing an array of things to you to get the points.
Had a good feel to it, too. You got two young, exciting teams.
There was outside of the Lonzo slander that was flying around last night, like there really were a lot of good young players on both teams that really got to showcase what they could do. And I like that you mentioned that Philly will be playing for some championships here recently because they may be playing the Lakers once LeBron and PG-13 comes
in. God. Okay, we're going to get back on topic on that thought. Let's talk about this game. Nebraska beats Penn State if... Go.
If Patrick O'Brien has the opening game of his life, provided that it's him that's playing. Like, I don't think that this is a, hey, Nebraska can win this game if their defense magically shows up, because I find that to be completely outside the realm of possibilities. I think that it would have to be led by the offense, and we finally get something that I had earlier in the year kept saying to you, which is, I feel like this team has like a 40 or 50 point outburst in it on offense, just because they had everything returning back. You thought the offense was going to be better. So if they have that outburst led by Patrick O'Brien, who I'm assuming will start the game at this point. We don't know for sure, but I assume that that's how we end up getting to Nebraska winning the game.
I think it's possible. I think there's a better chance than some people are letting on. I mean, like, why not? You know? I'll root for chaos. It's almost like a jokingly what if at this point, but I mean, they can play spoiler. I certainly don't think that Nebraska is as bad as they looked last week against Minnesota.
No, they're not, but the problem is I think we're in the mental area now, right? Like, and I think, like, we knew going into that game last week that Nebraska had more talent than Minnesota. Like, and that's what I'm curious to see, again, going back to the excited for next year. Like, when Nebraska and Minnesota play next year, I'd be so curious to see what that game ends up looking like, no matter who the coach is for Nebraska, because I think you'll end up seeing a reversal of that really quickly. But in this game, Nebraska has less talent. But the mental aspect of it, I just don't know if that's going to widen the gap in this game.
I feel like a lot of times in situations like this, you go through like that stretch where you're just like continuously beaten down and beaten into the ground. And that was Northwestern, and that was last week against Minnesota, and then for the better part of this week. But you get to Penn State, you've got a team that, I mean, you think that they're going to be fine. I think that maybe there's a little bit of letting the foot off the gas a little bit with things being not in their control right now. I mean, those are the situations where you find upsets like this.
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to be watching the game Saturday. Who are you most excited to see? Gesicki, who you said already, Trace McSorley, or Saquon Barkley?
Man, in a bad way for Nebraska, Saquon Barkley is the guy, because I'm curious, and it's not just from his end and how he performs. It's also how their offensive coordinator, Moorhead, how James Franklin decided to use him. I found that curious all season long, is that I get it that they have other weapons and they like to, it feels like they clearly like to use Barkley as a decoy to help get those other guys going, but then sometimes forget to come back to him. So I'll be interested to see how that goes. So for that reason, I'm looking most forward to see what he can do out there.
It's a really good point. They have used him as a decoy a lot to try to get other people involved. All right, give me your score prediction and we'll wrap this thing up. I've got Penn State 42, Nebraska 13.
Yeah, I'm going to go Penn State 52, Nebraska 17.
Oh, my gosh. It'll be wrapped up, though, early. That'll be nice. We'll get to get stories written and get home quickly.
Yeah, that'll happen.
That'll do it for this week. We got one week of football left. Possibly, Nebraska could win this week, and they could win next week, and we could go to a bowl game.
That is true.
So, tentatively, we've got 1 week of football left in Nebraska's season. So we'll be back again next week with another podcast. Maybe we'll do something cool for the last one, or maybe not. I don't know. But I guess you'll have to wait and find out. Game kicks off Saturday at 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Keep it with Hail Varsity all weekend for coverage. We got a boat-themed column from Brandon last week for Row the Boat. Maybe we'll get a lion-themed column this week. Hopefully. That'll be nice.
Not that one.
Knock on Boatwood. I'm Derek. That's Greg. This is Views. We out.